This book includes content that may be distressing to readers and listeners, including violent or dangerous behaviour and abusive or discriminatory treatment of individuals, groups, religions, or communities. The Adventure of the Yellow Band. My friend Sherlock Holmes has worked on about 70 cases in the last 8 years. Some of these ended happily, some sadly, but they were all strange in some way. Holmes has only worked on cases that were interesting to him. But I cannot remember a case that was stranger than the one of the Roylott family of Stoke Moran in Surrey. This was a few years ago, before I got married, and Holmes and I were sharing a flat in Baker Street. I did not write about it immediately because I promised to keep it secret. But a lot of people are talking about the death of Dr. Grimesby Roylott, and I think that I need to tell the true story. It was early April 1883, and I woke up one morning to see Holmes standing by my bed. He did not usually get up early, and I was surprised to see that it was only 7:15.
"I'm sorry to wake you up, Watson," he said. Mrs. Hudson was woken early, and she woke me up.
Mrs. Hudson looked after our flat and cooked for us.
"What is it? Is it a fire?" I asked.
"No, I have a visitor. A young woman. She says that she must see me. She's waiting in the sitting room. If a young woman comes to visit very early in the morning, she has something important to tell me. If the case is interesting, maybe you'll want to listen to her."
"Thank you, Holmes. I don't want to miss a new case." I quickly put some clothes on and followed my friend into the sitting room. A woman in a black dress was sitting at the window. She stood up when we came in.
"Good morning, madam," said my friend. "My name is Sherlock Holmes, and this is my friend Dr. Watson. I see that Mrs. Hudson has lit the fire. You're shivering. Please sit nearer to the fire, and I will ask Mrs. Hudson to bring us some hot coffee."
"I'm shivering, but it's not because of the cold," answered the woman, moving to a chair near the fire.
"Why then?" asked Holmes.
"I'm shivering because I'm afraid."
Her eyes were bright, like the eyes of a frightened animal. She was a woman of 30, but she looked older and tired. Holmes sat down next to her.
"Don't be afraid," he said. "We can help you, I'm sure. You came to London by train this morning, I see."
"Do you know who I am?"
"No. But you have the second half of your ticket in your left glove. You started early, and you had a long drive on a bad road to get to the train station."
The woman looked at Holmes, her mouth wide open.
"It's not a difficult problem, madam," said Holmes with a smile. "Your left arm is dirty from the wet road. The driver was sitting on your right, so that arm is clean."
"You're right, Mr. Holmes. I left home before 6. I reached Leatherhead at 6:20 and caught the first train to London. I'm very worried, and nobody can help me. One day, you helped one of my friends, and she gave me your name and address. I hope that you can help me too. I have no money now, but I'm getting married in a month, and then I'll have some money. I can pay you then.
Madam, said Holmes, I don't work for money, but I'll be happy to help. Please, can you tell us about your problem?
It's not easy, she answered, because I'm not sure why I'm so worried. It's a lot of little things. Each little thing seems unimportant. I have talked to the man who I'm going to marry about them, and he doesn't think that there's any danger. But when I look at these small things together, they seem dangerous. Can I share these things with you?
I'm listening carefully, madam. Holmes sat back in his chair with his eyes closed.
My name is Helen Stoner, and I live with my stepfather, Dr. Roylott. We live in Stoke Moran in Surrey. The Roylott family was once rich, but it lost most of its money in the last 100 years. Now there's just a little land and a 200-year-old house. The only son of the family, my stepfather, found enough money to study to be a doctor, and he went to work in India. Things went well for him there, but then something terrible happened. Somebody was stealing things from his house. He thought that it was one of his servants, and he got very angry and killed the man. My stepfather was in prison for a long time and came back to England an unhappy man. Dr. Roylott married my mother in India. She was the widow of a soldier, Major General Stoner. My sister Julia and I were twins, and we were 2 years old when our mother married Dr. Roylott. My mother died in a train accident 8 years ago. In her will, she left a lot of money. The money was for my sister and me when we married, but before that, Dr. Roylott had to look after it. After my mother died, Dr. Roylott, Julia and I came to live at Stoke Moran. We had enough money to live, and Dr. Roylott didn't need to work. But my stepfather didn't make friends near Stoke Moran. He often had arguments with neighbours and sometimes had fights with people. He's a very strong man, and most people in the village are afraid of him. His only friends are some people who sometimes camp on his land. They are travellers, and they move from village to village. My stepfather also likes animals, and he has a cheetah and a baboon, which live wild in the garden. People in the village are frightened of the animals, too. My sister and I were unhappy in the house. Servants didn't want to work for my stepfather, so we did all the cleaning and cooking. My sister was only 30 when she died, but, like me, she already had white hair.
Your sister is dead, then? Asked Holmes.
Yes. I've come to speak to you about her death. She died 2 years ago. Because we lived with my stepfather, we didn't meet many people. But we did sometimes visit my mother's sister in Harrow. Julia went there for Christmas, and she became engaged to a soldier who was also visiting. When she came back to Stoke Moran, My stepfather seemed happy with the engagement, but 2 weeks before the wedding, something terrible happened, and I lost my only friend.
Holmes opened his eyes and looked at our visitor. Please tell me what happened, he said.
I will never forget the night. The house is big and very old, and we only live in part of it. Most of it is falling down. The sitting room is in the middle of the house, and the three bedrooms are in a row to one side on the ground floor. The first of the bedrooms is Dr. Roylott's, the second is my sister's, and the third is mine. There are no doors between the bedrooms, but they all open onto the same corridor. Have I explained well?
Yes, answered Holmes.
The windows of the three rooms all open onto the garden. That night, Dr. Roylott went to his room early, but we knew that he wasn't asleep because Julia could smell the smoke from his strong Indian cigarettes. She didn't like the smell, so she came into my room, and we talked for some time about her wedding plans. When she left, it was 11 o'clock. She stopped at the door and looked back at me. Tell me, Helen, she said, have you ever heard someone whistle in the night? No, why? I said. The last few nights I have heard a low whistle at about 3 in the morning. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe the next room, maybe the garden. Maybe it comes from the travellers' camp. But if it comes from outside, it's strange that you don't hear it. She turned and closed my door. I heard her go into her room and lock the door.
Do you always lock your doors? Asked Holmes.
Always. I told you that my stepfather had a cheetah and a baboon.
Of course. Please continue.
I couldn't sleep. My sister and I were twins, and when she was worried, I was too. There was a storm, and the rain was hitting the windows hard. Suddenly, I heard a scream, and I knew that it was my sister's voice. I jumped out of bed. As I opened the door to the corridor, I heard a low whistle, and then I heard a louder noise, a large piece of metal which was falling, I think. I ran along the corridor and saw that my sister's door was open. She came out. Her face was white, and she was moving from side to side. I ran to her, but she fell to the ground in terrible pain. Then she shouted, "It was the band, Helen, the yellow band." She couldn't say any more, but she pointed to our stepfather's room. I called for my stepfather, and he came out, but he couldn't help her. She died without speaking again.
Are you sure about the whistle and the falling metal? Asked Holmes.
The storm was very loud, but I'm almost sure that I heard them.
What was your sister wearing? He asked.
She was in her nightdress. In her right hand was half a dead match, and in her left was the matchbox.
So she lit a lamp. That's important, Holmes said. What did the police find?
My sister's door was locked, and all our windows had strong shutters, and they were locked too. I told the police all that. They looked at all the walls and the floor and said nobody could get into her room and nobody could get down the chimney. My sister was alone in her room before she died. Nothing hit her. There were no marks on her body.
Was she poisoned?
The doctors don't think that, Miss Stoner answered him.
If she wasn't poisoned, how did she die? He asked.
I think that she was very frightened, and it killed her.
Were there some travelling people near the house at the time? Holmes said.
Yes, they are often there.
And she talked about a yellow band? He asked her.
Maybe she was talking about the travelling people. They sometimes wear yellow scarves around their hair. Another word for a headscarf is a band. Or perhaps she was talking about the travelling people because band can also mean group of people.
Holmes looked at her carefully. This was 2 years ago, he said. Why have you come here today?
A month ago, a friend, Percy Armitage, asked me to marry him. We're now engaged, and the wedding will be in a few weeks. My stepfather seems happy with our engagement. 2 days ago, he wanted to do some building work on the house. He asked me to move out of my bedroom and into my sister's old room. Last night, I woke up and I heard a low whistle. I jumped out of bed and lit my lamp, but I couldn't see anything in the room. I was very worried and I couldn't go back to bed, so I put my clothes on. Early in the morning, I drove to Leatherhead, caught a train, and came to see you.
You were right to come here, said Holmes, but I need to know more about your stepfather.
What do you mean? Miss Stoner asked.
Holmes pointed to our visitor's arm. I could see five dark marks, finger marks, on the skin.
He's very strong, she said. But he didn't want to hurt me.
She covered her arm. Holmes was quiet, and he looked into the fire for a minute or two. Then he spoke. I need to know more, he said. If we go to Stoke Moran today, can we see these rooms? Is your stepfather at home?
I think that he's coming into London today. He'll be away all day.
Excellent. Can you go with me, Watson? Of course, I said. We'll go to Stoke Moran for the early afternoon. Will you be home then, Miss Stoner?
Yes.
Will you stay for breakfast now? He asked.
No, I must go. I'll see you this afternoon.
She stood up and left the room quickly.
What do you think of this mystery, Watson? Asked Holmes.
It's a strange dark story.
It is.
The floor and walls are strong, I said. It was impossible to get into the room through the door, window, or chimney. So the sister was alone in the room.
And what about the whistles and the strange last words about the yellow band? Holmes asked.
I don't know.
I think that Dr. Roylott wants to stop his stepdaughter's wedding because he will lose some of his dead wife's money, Holmes said.
What else do we know? We have the strange whistles, this band of travelling people near the house, and the strange noise of the metal.
Did the travellers do something wrong? I asked.
They are friends with Dr. Roylott.
I don't know, Holmes answered. We must go to Stoke Moran. We need to see everything.
But what is this?
Our door suddenly flew open, and a huge man was standing there, red-faced and angry.
"Which of you is Sherlock Holmes?" he shouted.
"That's me."
"I am Dr. Grimesby Roylott."
"I see," said Holmes. "Please sit down."
"I don't want to sit down. My stepdaughter has been here. I followed her. What did she want?"
"It's a little cold for the time of year, don't you think?" said Holmes.
"You don't want to answer me," said Roylott. "What has she said to you?" "You're Holmes, the meddler. I've heard about you."
Holmes smiled. "I've enjoyed our conversation. When you leave, please close the door. It really is very cold."
"Don't meddle with me. I'm a dangerous man. Look at this."
He picked up a heavy metal poker that was by the fire and bent it into a circle. Then he left the room.
"He's not a friendly man," said Holmes, "but he isn't stronger than me." He picked up the poker and bent it back. "Let's have breakfast, and then I need to go somewhere before we go to Stoke Moran." Holmes came back at about 1 o'clock. He was holding a piece of paper.
"I've been to look at the mother's will," he told me. "It leaves a large amount of money to each daughter when she marries. If Miss Stoner marries, Dr. Roylott will have very little money. I think we need to get to Stoke Moran quickly, and please, bring your gun."
We took a train to Leatherhead and then drove to Stoke Moran. As we got near to the house, we saw a grey-haired woman in front of us on the road. We stopped and paid our driver. Then we walked to meet Miss Stoner.
"Good afternoon, Mr. Holmes. It's good to see you," she said. "My stepfather has gone to London, and I don't think that he'll be back before the evening."
"We've met your stepfather," said Holmes. "He followed you to our flat. He'll be angry with you when he comes home, so lock yourself in your room before he arrives. But let's go and see the house."
We walked across the garden. At one end of the house, we saw some stones on the ground, but nobody was building anything.
"Those stones are outside your bedroom?" asked Holmes.
"Yes, but now I'm sleeping in the middle bedroom."
"They're building something, but I don't see anybody working," he said.
"They're not, because no building work is necessary. But I think that my stepfather wanted me to move into the middle bedroom."
"Both your rooms were locked at night," said Holmes, "so nobody could get in from the corridor. Please go into your room now and close the shutters."
When the shutters were closed from the inside, Holmes tried to open them from the outside, but he could not do it.
"Let's go and look from the inside," he said.
We went into the house. Holmes did not need to visit Helen Stoner's room at the end of the corridor, so we went into the middle bedroom. Holmes sat in the corner and looked around the room.
"What's that?" he said, pointing to a thick bell rope which came down onto the bed.
"It's to call the servants," said Helen Stoner.
"It's new."
"Yes, it was put there 2 years ago," she replied.
"Did your sister want it?" Holmes asked.
"She never used it. There usually aren't any servants to call."
Holmes pulled the bell rope and nothing happened.
"It doesn't ring," he said. Look up at the top of the wall over the bed. There's a ventilator there, and the rope comes down from that. But the ventilator is strange too. Usually, a ventilator is to let air from the outside into a room, so you put it on an outside wall. But that ventilator goes to the next room, your stepfather's bedroom. When was the ventilator put there?
At the same time as the bell rope.
Let's look at Dr. Roylott's room now, said Holmes. The room was larger than his stepdaughter's. There was a bed and a bookcase, an armchair and an old chair, a round table and a large metal safe. Holmes looked at them all carefully. What's in the safe? He asked.
Some business papers, Miss Stoner said.
You've seen inside?
Just once. It was full of papers.
Is there a cat in it? Asked Holmes.
No. What a strange idea.
Look at this. Holmes picked up a small bowl of milk, which was on top of the safe.
We don't have a cat. We have a cheetah and a baboon.
That's a very small bowl of milk for a cheetah or a baboon, said Holmes. Now he was looking carefully at the old chair. I see, he said. But what's that? He was pointing to a small dog whip. Look, that's a dog whip, but somebody has made a loop at the end of it. Interesting. Now, let's look at the garden. We went outside, and Holmes looked carefully at the house from the garden, but said nothing. Then he turned to Miss Stoner. Tonight, you must do what I say, or it will be very dangerous for you.
I will.
Watson and I will stay in a room in the village pub. Holmes pointed, and we could see the pub through the trees. You must be in your sister's room with the door locked before your stepfather comes home. When you're sure that he has gone to bed, open the shutters on the window and put your lamp there. We will see it from our room in the pub. Then go to your old bedroom for the night. Watson and I will go into your sister's room and find the answer to this mystery. Holmes and I got a bedroom upstairs at the pub and looked out of the window. We could see the house through the trees. We saw Dr. Roylott return from London and enter the house angrily. Then someone lit a lamp in the sitting room. I'm worried about tonight, Watson, said Holmes. It could be dangerous.
Do you want my help?
I do.
Then I'll come, I said. But why is it dangerous? Did you see more in those rooms than I did?
We saw the same things, Watson, but maybe I have discovered more clues.
I saw only the bell rope and the ventilator.
Ah, yes, Holmes said. I knew about the ventilator before we came here. Do you remember that the sister smelled Dr. Roylott's cigarettes?
Yes, I answered, but why is that important?
They put in a ventilator and a bell rope at the same time, and then, almost immediately, a woman died. And what about the bed? I tried to move it, but I couldn't. And the bell rope comes onto the bed.
Holmes, I said, I'm beginning to understand a little, I think. The doctor is planning a horrible crime.
Yes, Watson, but now we need to watch and wait. At 9 o'clock, the lamp in the sitting room went out and the house was dark. After 2 hours, we saw another light.
"That's the middle window," said Holmes. "Let's go."
We walked through the trees towards the house. Suddenly, something strange jumped in front of us and ran across the grass. Holmes laughed.
"That's the baboon," he said.
There was a cheetah in the garden too, I remembered. We quickly climbed through the middle window and closed the shutters quietly.
"Don't make any noise, Watson, and we must turn off the lamp."
I nodded.
"And have your gun ready," Holmes added.
I put it on the corner of the table. Holmes had a long, thin stick with him and a box of matches. He turned off the lamp and we sat in the dark. We heard the sounds of the night. There were birds, but also the strange noise of the cheetah somewhere in the garden. Then we heard the church clock. 12 o'clock. 1 o'clock. 2, 3. We sat and waited. Suddenly, a little light came through the ventilator and then a smell. Something was burning and I heard somebody moving. After half an hour, I heard another sound, a long, quiet hiss. When he heard this, Holmes jumped up. He lit a match and hit the bell rope wildly with his stick.
"Can you see it, Watson?"
he shouted. I saw nothing. When Holmes lit the match, I heard a low whistle, but I didn't see what my friend was hitting. Then he stopped hitting and he looked up at the ventilator. Suddenly, we heard a terrible cry from the next room. It got louder and louder, then it stopped.
"What is it?" I asked.
"It's finished," said Holmes. "Bring your gun and we'll go to Dr. Roylott's room."
He lit the lamp and we went into the corridor and knocked on Dr. Roylott's door. There was no answer and we went in. My gun was ready in my hand. Dr. Grimesby Roylott was sitting on the chair. On his knees was the strange dog whip. His head was up and he was looking up at a ventilator on the wall, but he did not move. Around his head was a strange yellow band which started to move. I saw that it was a snake.
"It's a swamp adder," said Holmes. "A dangerous Indian snake. We heard its hiss. Roylott died 10 seconds after it bit him."
He picked up the dog whip and carefully put the loop around the snake's neck. Then he threw the snake into the safe and closed the door. That is the true story of the death of Dr. Grimesby Roylott. We gave the sad news to Helen Stoner and put her on the first train to her aunt's house in Harrow. The police decided that Dr. Roylott died in an accident when he was playing with his dangerous pet. The next day, Holmes and I took the train back to London and he told me more.
"At first, Watson," he told me, "I was interested in the story of the travelling people. But when I saw the room, I understood that nobody could enter through the door or the window. When I saw the bell rope, I understood that it made a bridge from the ventilator to the bed. What can go through a ventilator and down a bell rope? I immediately thought of a snake. The doctor worked in India and knew about the dangerous animals there.
When a snake bites, it leaves two very small marks on the skin, and many doctors won't see it. The doctor stood on the old chair in his room to put the snake into the ventilator. I could see the marks of his shoes on the wood of the chair. Then I thought about the whistle. The doctor had to bring the snake back before morning. He put milk in the bowl and called the snake with the whistle. The snake knew that breakfast was waiting and came back. It drank its milk and then went back into the safe. The metal sound that Miss Stoner heard was the sound of the safe door. Roylott put the snake through the ventilator for more than one night, Holmes explained. At first it didn't bite, but he tried again and again, and after a few nights the poor girl was dead. Last night I waited for the snake to come down the bell rope, and when I saw it, I hit it. And it went back through the ventilator, I said. It was angry because I hit it, so it bit Dr. Roylott. I can't say that I'm very sorry.